Thank you, girls. Pray with me, please. Father, we do thank you that your love is like springtime. And so, Father, as we open up your word this morning, we ask you to till the soil, tend the soil of our soul, Father, so that we can grow, Father. That's what we want to do this year. We want to grow to be more and more like your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in a new series that we started a couple of weeks ago, so it's not new, right? It's the but it's called Let's Grow, and I hope God has been teaching you through this series what it really means for you to grow. It's really a series about what God is working on in my life and in the different areas, because I know that God wants us to grow, right? It's what He wants us to do, and I believe that this is the year of great growth, and as I've said every week, it's not easy. Right, it's not easy for growth to happen. There's some things that some old things that need to go. Right, there's some new things that we need to add into our lives. Our theme verse has been 2 Corinthians 5:17. In the Message paraphrase, it says this: "Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, anyone in a personal forever relationship with Christ, gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, and a new life burgeons. Look at it." It grows. It explodes. Jesus wants to bring real growth to each one of us today and every day after. And there's no limit to how He wants to use us. There's no place that He wouldn't go to free you and me. He went all the way to the grave so that you could live in His grace. He wants you to live free so that you'll live out who He designed you to be. And so as this new year begins, let's get rid of what needs to go and embrace what needs to grow. He wants to grow you so that He can prepare you for more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so the first week we looked at my priorities, right? That He would be first in every area of my life, right? Not just Jesus then my marriage, but Jesus in my marriage. Not just, you know, Jesus in my career, but Jesus in my career, right? That He's the center. He's the first of every area of my life, my finances, my interests, my relationships, my service, my time, that He is priority in my life. And then last week we talked about my psyche, that He really wants to reorder our thoughts, right? To get us to a place where we have the strength and the confidence to allow Him to come in and help us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So that when those thoughts come, that we know that aren't pleasing to God, or those negative thoughts or critical thoughts, we can have the strength of the Holy Spirit to help us say, no, no, no critical thought, no negative thought. I'm going to make you obedient to God, to His Word. And so as those lies come and they come to us every day from Satan and from the world and from maybe even those in our own family, we have to fight those lies, right? And the way we do that is we feed on the truth. We feed on the truth of His Word, and we allow His truth to begin to bring us freedom from those strongholds that maybe we have in our lives and those thoughts that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Well, today I want to talk to you about my purpose, and getting to a place as we step into this new year where we allow God to realign our purpose. I need to allow God to realign, my life around His purpose. Several years ago, I had a neck issue, and it got to be so painful coming down my left side and down my legs. I thought, oh my goodness, it could be the heart, right? And so I went to the doctor, did the whole heart thing, stress thing, nuclear stress, heart cath, did all that to find out that, okay, I must have a pinched nerve or something, right? And so I had a friend that introduced me to a chiropractor, and I've never been to a chiropractor in my life, but I went to this guy. He was an orthogonal chiropractor. That's the kind of chiropractor just kind of deals with the upper areas of your neck, and it was amazing what I began to learn about my spine. And he took some x-rays and began to tell me that my atlas or my anvil was misaligned, and it's that atlas is just what holds you kind of at the top of your spine, holds your neck and your head, and it brings balance to your spine. And he began to tell me that it was misaligned, and And because of that, he felt like there was some weakening of my disc and maybe some nerve decline in other areas of my body. And that once we got that aligned and it began to hold, that the nervous system would begin to kind of do its own healing throughout your body. And the tissues would begin to heal and those symptoms would begin to resolve themselves. And it's amazing to me how you can have pain in one area, but the problem is, you know, comes from another area, right? Chiropractors call it referred pain or reflective pain. And referred pain occurs when a problem in one place in the body causes pain in another place. And I had never considered that maybe my aches and pains could be caused by something more serious going on elsewhere. And so I'm glad I know that now, right? And as I was thinking about this message, I began to remember, you know, that really that's how it works in every other area of our lives, right? Our pain is in one place, but the pain is not your problem. The pain is just a reflection of a larger problem. And what we need to do is to realign our purpose with His purpose. And when we begin to do that, it will bring definition to the other areas of our lives. So I realign my life with His purpose, and it begins to bring balance and alignment in other areas of our lives, right? Like my finances, and or my marriage, or my career, or my kids, or my family, really everything. It begins to bring it into balance. And if you know your purpose and why you were on this planet, it can give you so much more direction and healing in other areas of your life. And so this morning, what I want to do is very simply, very practically, just let you know why it's important for us to allow God to realign our purpose to His. And the first reason is this. It's very simple. It's because I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Everyone in this room has a purpose. Every one of us have a God-given design purpose. And your life will never make sense, and you will have problems in other areas until you realign your life around God's purpose for you. We'll never be happy until you find out why you are here and then jump in and do it. Because I really believe the true secret to happiness is finding and living out your purpose for God today. I love what John Maxwell says. He says, you need to do it today because it's too late for yesterday. And you can't depend on tomorrow. So let's live out God's purposes today. Today matters. Today matters. And as outrageous as it is, God not only sent His Son to die for our sins, that we could be reconciled with God, that heaven would be opened up so that we could spend eternity with Him forever, as if that weren't enough, right? God said, no, beyond that, I am going to give you meaning for your life, a life that is full and abundant. I'm going to give you significance. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to bring you some assignment in your life that is going to bring you adventure and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction like nothing else. Your purpose really determines, I think, your dignity. And what I mean by that is how you feel about yourself. If you don't have a purpose for your life right now, you feel like maybe you're just existing. And you begin to ask those questions, you know, why am I here? What am I here for, right? Why did I get up this morning? Why do I go to work? What is the purpose of life? And when you begin to get God's purpose for your life, and you begin to fulfill the plan for which He made you, then you begin to feel better about yourself. Nothing is more important after you come to know Jesus Christ than to get God's purpose for your life. The reason you exist is your purpose for living. And when you don't have it, you just kind of drift around. It's only when you discover why God made you and what He wants you to do with your life does God begin to make sense. I've shared this before in different contexts, but Living without purpose is probably the most common reason people lack passion. I mean, without a purpose for living, again, why bother, right? Why put forth the effort? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? If you have no reason for using energy, why expend it? Why not just check in and say, been there, done that? You see, the fact is, life seems pretty futile if you don't know your purpose. The longer you go through adult life without clarifying what God's purpose is for your life, the less passion you'll have, because passion and purpose go together. On the other hand, a clear purpose, you know, creates passion. The greater your purpose in life, the more passionate you're going to be about living, the more fully alive that you're going to be. You know, I've shared this with students a lot of times. If you have a little dinky purpose, like I live just for myself, then you're not going to have much passion in your life. But if you get God's purpose for your life, which is huge, you know, it's all that God meant for you to be. And you begin to see that you're a part of His kingdom, His plan. And you commit yourself to His purpose for your life and sharing His news, His good news with other people, you have an enormous purpose, and it creates significant passion in your life. There's nothing more significant than being what God made you to be, doing what God made you to do, thinking, you know, like God made you to think, sharing in the greatest cause in the world, the advancement of His kingdom. There's no greater cause. And it creates the greatest amount of passion in your life. God has a purpose for you, and when you connect that purpose, your passion will begin to explode. You really begin to get fired up about what God is calling you to do. You begin to live this life that is full and abundant and has meaning. Psalms 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Maybe some of you are saying, "Yep, you're right, Monty. And I've already messed up that book." Right? Exactly. And that's why you need to allow Him to realign your life around the purpose He created you for. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." God has a purpose. He had the purpose He wanted you to do first, and then He made you. He didn't make you and say, I wonder what we're going to do with Monty. You know what? What do you think, guys? I mean, he's bow-legged, and he squeaks when he talks. He's from Mulberry, for God's sake. What are we going to do that game? Well, he wouldn't say that, right? He would say, he's from Mulberry for my sake. He's from Mulberry for my sake. And I began to think about that. And I began to go, he's right. I'm from Mulberry for his sake, for his glory, to be about his work that he's already prepared in advance for me to do. God has a purpose for your life, and we need to live by design, not by default. Because if we live by default, we will let other people begin to plan out our lives, right? You can understand that through credit card companies. You know, they have a plan for your life, right? You know, what's in your wallet, you know, right? Don't let someone else decide and determine how you're going to live your life. What happens is we start cramming things into our lives that are not the most important, and before you know it, we're doing too much, buying too much, trying to fit too much in our lives. The world tries to teach us that more is better, right? I mean, $1 is good, then two are better. One Krispy Kreme is good, then two are better. Yeah, one car is good, then two are better. One kid is good, then two are... Yeah, what? better. Some of you hesitated on that. I don't know what it is. Especially the one that's got five back there. And go, hey. One wife is good, then two. No, don't go there. Two are wrong. Two are wrong. Two are wrong. Two are wrong. You need to ask yourself the frank question, will having more make me happier? Will doing more make me happier? Will having more activities make me happier? No, it will not. So it's better to have less with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says that this way, better one handful with tranquility, peace, than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I love that picture. Listen, we need to allow God to realign our lives around His purpose, because you have one. You have one. He's designed you for a unique purpose. The second reason that we need to allow God to realign our purpose to His purpose is because time is short. Time is short. I mean, for your life, for my life, you're one day closer to death than you were yesterday. Right? Aren't you glad you came today? My name is Monty, and I'm here to encourage you. Time is short. Time is short. And not only just in your own individual lives, but when we think about the end times, the last days. I've shared this with you before. I really believe with all my heart that we are in the last of the last days. All through Scripture, the things that it says that need to happen are either happening or have already happened. We are in the last days. Time is short. Listen, there's no time to just live as a casual Christian. You know, we need to ask God to align our purpose with His purpose, because it's important. And time is short. And people need to know who Jesus is. James 4, 13 through 15 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, do whatever, right? It doesn't matter. Why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. Listen, time is short. And the third reason, we have a purpose. Time is short, and the third reason is it's important. A lot of things in our lives are not being decided on what is important. They are being decided by what's urgent, or they're being decided by someone else. We all have to do things, right? We all have things to do, but they can't dominate what's urgent. They can't dominate our lives. We can't lose our priorities. Which reminds me of a Boudreaux story. You want another one? I've had a couple in this series. Boudreaux, he's a little guy from southern Louisiana. He's a Cajun. Boudreaux got, somebody gave him tickets for the Super Bowl. Two tickets for the Super Bowl. He's so excited. He couldn't believe he got two tickets to the Super Bowl. He was excited because it was going to be in the Superdome, which is in Louisiana. And it was like, this is his place. These are his people, right? And so he goes to the Super Bowl game, and he's sitting there, and then he's got an empty seat right next to him. And then the guy right next to that seat, he's on the 50-yard line, 50 rows up. He goes, "Woo! I've made it. And the guy sitting over there next to him says, this is exciting, this is amazing, who's supposed to be sitting in that seat with you? He said, it was for my wife. My wife just passed away. And the guy goes, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I know that's tough. He said, but you could have invited, maybe some other people in your family or a friend or somebody. I mean, you could have invited somebody. He said, I couldn't because her funeral was today. But Boudreaux done got his priorities out of whack, right? Philippians 3, Paul says this, but whatever was to my profit, whatever I thought was important, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to this, I love this, to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, that's the most important thing. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Satan says, don't go all in with God. You know, live it up. Do what you want, right? That's where the fun is. No, listen. The real fun is living your life knowing that your life is making a difference in someone else's life. It's important. Go all in 2023. I get it. There's a I believe in Jesus level, and that's good, right? I'm going to go to church as much as I can level, and that's good too. But there is another whole level that says I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to go all in. I'm going to pursue God's purpose in every area of my life because He's given me a purpose. Time is short, and it's important. Because if you don't do that, if you don't go all in, you're going to miss on the surpassing greatness of God's purpose. Proverbs 90 says, teach us, O God, to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. You know, I've shared this with you before. I got this from John Maxwell many years ago. He calls it the rule of five. And so every year I kind of get my five in order and I change them throughout every year. They change and they're always in this order. But every day I try to do five things. Now I don't have to do them all day, just every day of my life. And so I decided I'd go ahead and give you my five for this year. This don't have to be your five, but this is my five. Every day, I'm going to spend time in prayer. Hopefully throughout the day, but at least every day, I'm going to pray to my God, right? I'm going to spend time in prayer with my God. Every day, I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to read the Bible every day. Every day, I'm going to love those closest to me. And for me, that's Kim and my children, and that even includes you guys. Every day, love those closest to me. Every day, I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life. I make a difference in someone's life, right? Every day. Now, that doesn't have to be something huge. It might just be a text. Say, hey, I'm praying for you, or I'm thinking about you, or love you, man. Might be just a note. Might just be a smile. But every day, I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life. And then finally, every day I'm going to take care of myself. To do something to take care of myself so that I can fulfill the purpose that He's called me to. Listen, it's important. And as we step into 2023, you know, it's important that we begin to let God realign our lives around His purpose. So I want to talk to you about that growth work that He wants to do in our lives. And I want to give you two things to pray about every day this next week. I want to give you just two things to pray to God every day this week so that you can begin to do His growth. He can begin to do His growth work in your life of realigning your life to His purpose. So here's the growth work. Two prayers. First one, God, work in me. God, work in me. You know the Humpty Dumpty ditty, right? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's, you know, horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. We know that. And you know, I think sometimes we feel like Humpty Dumpty. We've fallen. We're broken. We think, God, there's no way you could use me for your purpose. There's no way. Because, God, you know, I got this stuff I'm struggling with and this stuff and these issues in my life and in my relationship. Listen, all of us are in that place. All of us have issues that we're dealing with. And so this is the prayer. God, will you work in me, forgiving me, redeeming me, helping me to be whole. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. God, work in me. Psalms 56:8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. God, you have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. And it's this beautiful picture of our God that he cares for us. And he wants to work in us. And there's areas of anxiety, of struggle. And he's there with us. The tears that we share over things, he's catching those. And we just need to say, God, work in me. I read about this story here that happened a few years ago. This is a picture of a triathlon event. These two guys are brothers, and they're from Great Britain. And this is the last race of the season. The guy on the left is the older brother, and he is leading the points for the whole season. All he has to do is finish in second in order to win the whole season. And so his younger brother is actually in first as they're coming toward the finish line. You can go Google this. It has the whole race there. It's kind of amazing. And all of a sudden, the younger brother starts getting dehydrated. And he starts, you know, getting disoriented. And he begins to wobble. And his older brother comes up on him and sees that. Sees him going back and forth. All of a sudden, he collapsed. And so then he's got to decide, you know, what is he going to do? Is he just going to go on so that he can win the race and win the points? Right, and let somebody help his brother? Or is he going to pick him up? Is he going to carry him, you know, and try to help him? And of course, it was no choice for him. He immediately stopped, began to pick his brother up and put his arm around him and try to kind of go forward. The guy that was in third, you know, passes right by them, and he finishes in first, and he's really celebrating. When I watch it on the video, I want to go, why are you celebrating for me? You know, but, you know, he's really celebrating. And so they come struggling across the finish line, and then the older brother has to decide, who am I going to let go across the line first? And because if he don't go across first, he doesn't win the points for the whole season, finishes in third, and he decides to push his brother across. And his younger brother stumbles across and collapses across the line, and then he kind of runs across and finishes in third. And I know this isn't a perfect picture, but I thought, you know, our God has the advantage to look over the race that he has prepared for us, right? The race that we are on in life, the purpose that he has created us for, that he has prepared for us. It's his race for his purpose. And he can see when we fall and when we're struggling and when we're hurting. And he's a God that knows us and wants to fulfill his purpose in our life. He wants to get us to that finish line. He's a God that will pick us up and will carry us over and will carry us to wherever we need to go in order for us to finish the race. Whether that might be to a recovery group or a small group or, you know, a life group or a Bible study group or just to be a part of a body of believers. Whatever. He's a God that wants to carry us to those areas to make us stronger. And to get us to a place where we can go across the finish line. But here's where it's kind of different. He will never force his way in. He's a God that says, hey, I want you to invite me in. To invite me to come alongside you. So this week, pray, God, work in me. God, you created me. You know, he knows you. He has a purpose for you. And he wants you to run the race he has prepared for you. But he won't go where he is not invited. So pray, God, work in me. The second prayer is this. God, work through me. You know, he also wants you to help others to get to that finish line. So he says, God, you know, so we're just going to pray, God, work through me. Throw that up here to me, Kimberly. I forgot that. See how good your arm is. Come on. Oh, good arm, good arm. Everybody know what this is? That's good, WD-4. Who said that? Yeah, it's good. It says it right there. Yes, WD-4. You know what WD stands for? Anybody know what WD stands for? Walter, what? What'd you say? Walt Disney. No, that's a good guess, though. Water displacement. Yeah, our scientists there kind of knew that. You might have heard this illustration before. But water displacement, way to go. You know what the 40 is? 39 times the inventors failed when they were trying to invent this product, and they wanted the number 40 to remind them of all the years it took to create a product with this multi-use like WD-40, right? Every time those guys look at that, they go, yeah, 40 times it does. Well, Kim made me a t-shirt, and she put my MD, that's my name, MD, not WD, MD, Monty Davis. And this is how many times I have failed. Give or take 100,000. So she wanted to go all the way around with it, you know, and I said, no, no. Right? Yeah, yeah. Monty displacement. Mm-hmm. People starting to take over my own sermon. There'd be something wrong with that. Listen, you know, I've made a fool of myself, as you know, many times, right? I've messed up. I've fallen. I've sinned against my God, and I've sinned against others, sometimes thinking, God, I'm surely disqualified myself from living out your purpose for my life. And so I think, wow, this ought to be the uniform of the church. Right? We ought to have all of us have one of these, you know, have our initials there and how many times, you know, and we could walk up with each other and go, wow, that's a big number. You too? You too? Listen, God wants to take our mess ups, our sin, and not just for us to hide it, but instead to talk about it and confess it to him and to others so that we can be forgiven and begin to heal and to help others experience the same grace that we ourselves have received. 1 Timothy 1 says this. It says, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I'm proof. Public sinner number one. Of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And Paul says, and now he shows me off. Evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. God, work in me. God, work through me. God, use me. Fulfill your purpose in my life so I can help others right on the edge of trusting you forever. So that I can help them come to know you and experience your forgiveness and your grace in the same way that I have. God, work through me. Use me to lead others. And I've shared with you many times that I have learned about God's purpose from really a lot of different people in my life. But especially from my dad and really from my boys. And you remember my story about Jake when he was like 5 or 6 years old. And we come to the Blockbuster? Yeah, you guys don't even know what that is, but it's where you come and, you know, rent videos. And I had to return one, and so, you know, I had to go inside because I was late. I had some late fees, like always. think I, you know, I'm the one that kept them alive as much as they did. But and so I just told you, hey, you stay in here. And he had a little Sunday school, paper coloring that they gave him on Sunday. It said, you know, Jesus loves you, and he was coloring. I said, just you know, keep coloring on that. I'm going to go inside. I'll lock the doors. I'll be right back out. And so I get out of the car. You know, he goes, yesterday. I get out of the car, and I look over, and there's these motorcycle guys sitting over here. And I know I've shared the story before, and every time I share the story, I get some motorcycle dude to say, what, are we like demon or something? Or are we like, no, you're not. You know, and there's many motorcycle Christians, but this group looked pretty shady. I don't know how many tattoos it takes to look shady, but they were... And so I was a little nervous, you know, but I kind of kept my eye on them. I walk in, I come right back out, right, you know, and I look out, and they're all looking at, you know, at my car, you know, and kind of, you know, leaning in. I'm going, what are they doing? And I look over, and Jake's got that little Sunday school paper, piece of coloring paper, you know, right up against the glass. You know, Jesus loves you. And I get in the car, I'm going, Jake, what are you doing, man? Put that down. And Jake goes, Dad, they need to know Jesus loves them. I watched him preaching at his church a couple months ago and standing on the stage and saying, you know, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. He's holding out God's word to them. It's all about Jesus. I learned a lot about purpose from my boys. It reminds me of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And always tell the students, put your name in there, right? For God so loved Monty that he gave his only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have an eternal life. God sent him, did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Jesus said, in effect, here's what I want you to do. Here's your purpose. I want you to help me rescue the world one person at a time. He's saying, I want my followers to be the ones to bring this monumental news that forgiveness is available through Jesus Christ. That a relationship with God is available. That heaven is available to anyone who opens up their heart to God. I want you to be the one. I want you to be the ones to bring that news to this world. My oldest son, Hunter, always had this very compassionate heart. You know, whether it was when we'd be on a trip, there'd be somebody at the corner of Wendy's or whatever, and I need food, and he'd be the one that wanted to go and buy them food, and we'd have to wait on Hunter because he'd be carrying food out there to him. He just had that kind of compassionate heart that wanted to do something. Kind of followed him through his life. And after he graduated and he was in divinity school, he started this houseless ministry named Mavelle, and what they did is they fed the men and women in the tent villages, a meal every week, and we'd go down and have a little devotion with them. And so one week I was there, and I was able to go and participate with him. And we went to the tent villages that were kind of under the overpasses and the train yard areas, and we went down in there, and we built a fire, and we cooked chili and hot dogs, and we just had a little meal with all the houseless guys. He called them houseless, and one of the actually houseless men led the devotion. It was amazing. And after we got finished and got cleaned up, he goes, Dad, Larry wasn't here, and I want you to meet Larry. So he's probably at his place. You know, come on. And so I think, where are we going? We're going to his house. And we go across the tracks and up the embankment in the overpass area, in that kind of V where it made the embankment and the overpass was Larry's home. It's where he lived. So we climb up that embankment, and Larry's there, and he's got books stacked up. He loved to read. And Hunter says, Larry, I want to introduce you to my dad, you know. And, you know, I want to make sure that you met my dad. And, you know, he's here for the week. And Larry just begins to cry. And he goes, oh, Hunter, I've been sober I haven't had a drink for 5 weeks. You know, we even got the pen, last week. I hadn't had for 5 weeks. And he said, I messed up today. And without even hesitating, Hunter said, that's okay, Larry. God loves you, man. I love you. I still love you. It's all right. And Larry looks at me and he says, Mr. Hunter's dad, I don't know why your son loves me so much, but I'm so glad he does. You know, I called Hunter a few weeks ago and I said, what you doing? He said, I'm out at Target. What you doing at Target? He goes, "Well, Dad, I'm over all the houseless and special needs children in this school district, and I'm just out here buying some clothes for a family that needs them before it gets cold." Learned a lot. Reminds me of this passage in Matthew 25. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, Jesus and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the King will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" It's His purpose. And of course, my dad was my hero, and I learned a lot about purpose from him. My dad, I did his funeral. It'll be 9 years. 9 years in May. And I'll never forget standing there at this funeral before we got started, people coming up to me and said, "Hey, you don't know me, but your dad led me to Jesus." And I go, "Oh, man, that's awesome." And then this guy gets up in the service and he tells his testimony, how God never gave up, Dad never gave up on him and kept sharing him about Jesus, and he accepted Christ as a 40-year-old. And then after the service was over, I'm standing there and people are coming up, and these two ladies from Wendy's walk up. "Oh, we just want to let you know, your dad and mom always came every week, to the Wendy's here in the South Side. And, they were always talking to us about Jesus, and we love Jesus because of your dad." You see, my dad loved people because he loved God. And I think, wow, what a way to live, right? What a way to live. Even more than that, what a way to be remembered. 1 Peter 3:15, this is my dad's verse. He says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." God, work in me. God, work through me. Use me for your purpose. Oh, God. I'll close with this verse. Psalms 39, 4 through 5 says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." Listen, we have a purpose. You have a purpose if you are a follower of Christ. And time is short. And it's important for you to live out your purpose. So begin to pray this week, "God, work in me. God, work through me." Pray with me, please. So God, help us take that thought of just how brief our lifetime is, just a moment. And God, to begin to understand that and allow you to realign our life around your purpose. God, may this year be a year of great growth in me and each one of us here in this room. God, work. Just pray this with me. God, work in me. God, work through me. use me for your purpose.